Whether we're trying to save it or spend it, we use money every day in our lives. But did you ever think about what the dollar bill in your hand actually represents? Or if the dime in your pocket is actually worth 10 cents in metal? This is the History Explorer podcast, and today we'll be hearing from Karen Lee from the museum's numismatics collection to discuss the history of the United States dollar.
My name is Karen Lee, and I'm working in the numismatic collection. First thing most people say is, what the heck is numismatics? Well, numi is a Greek word that apparently used to mean coin or small round thing, and so numismatics is the study of small round things like coins and also paper money. And recently, I've spent a lot of time in the collection looking at money for a show that we're putting together called Coins, The History of Change. And you're all supposed to laugh now, ha ha ha, The History of Change. I started thinking about change and what's so interesting about money, not as pocket change, but as something that we can really learn history from. How does it change over time? What does it mean to people, and what does it mean to us now? One of my very favorite objects in this story that I want to tell about the dollar and the changing forms of the dollar in United States currency is this dollar that was issued by the state of Maryland in 1770. So it's very, very old. And if you were looking at it, you would notice that it's quite different from a dollar that you're familiar with today, especially because at the top of this dollar, there's a small round blob of ink. If you look at it really closely under magnification, you'll notice that that's actually a coin, and this coin represents a Spanish piece of eight. Because back in colonial America, our money was anything that passed through trade. A lot of Spanish colonial currency, money from Egypt, money from France, all these currencies were used as money in the United States back in colonial America, and that's because we didn't have any metal in the United States to make our own money with. So when these guys ran out of foreign currency to use, they started printing paper money, and in order to have people be convinced that this money was actually valuable, they actually put this little symbol of a Spanish piece of eight on the top of the currency. If you move forward in time and you look at the way the dollar changes again some more, what happens next? Well, eventually we do find metal in the United States. The gold rush occurs, and for the very first time in the history of our country, we're able to make our own gold dollars in mass quantities. Now, the very funny thing, if you were holding this old note from Maryland next to this tiny, twinky little gold dollar, the gold dollar is a tiny, tiny thing. It's just a smidge bigger than the nail on your pinky finger. So this was a very common denomination in business in America, and it's a small coin, and if you held it in your pocket, you would be likely to use it. And so I wonder about how it was for people to use this tiny little dollar and just to keep track of them. I mean, this is a really, really twinky little coin, but it's our first gold dollar, and you know, for the first time we had enough money to make gold coins, and so the gold rush changed the way the world worked in the United States. So fast forward a little bit in history up to about 1878, and what happens? Well, along with the gold rush, we discover a lot of silver in the United States. So then we can actually make in massive quantities silver dollars, and the design for this silver dollar is very famous. It's called the Morgan dollar, and from the 1870s through the early 1900s, they made about 500 million of them. Now, something to think about with this silver dollar, which is the same as the gold dollar, this is a time when money was actually worth its weight in the metal. The really interesting thing to me, which is so different from now, we live in an age of digital banking, is this silver dollar had to weigh a certain amount. It had to be pure silver, and if it was lightweight, people wouldn't use it. The same with the gold dollar. The gold dollar is so small because that's all you got. A dollar's worth of gold wasn't very much money. That was all you got, and it made this tiny, twinky little coin. The silver dollar is a honking big piece of metal, and so you can imagine having to walk around with a pocket full of these coins. But again, the coins had intrinsic value. It's different than the money that we use today because our money is representational. What do I mean by that? Well, look at a credit card. What's that plastic actually worth? Absolutely nothing. You know, when you're paid, does somebody pay you in gold dollars? No. They probably deposit money into your checking account electronically. Pretty much we don't even see our money today. But in the 1860s and the 1870s and the early 1900s, people wanted real metal. They wanted their money to be worth something in real metal. The dollar has taken so many different designs. That's another interesting thing when you go and you dig through these coin collections and you look at these coins. This coin is gorgeous. You know, sometimes Liberty is represented just as the head of Liberty, which looks very regal, but they got very creative with the design of the silver dollar, especially in the early 1900s. All circulating coins were redesigned, and this walking Liberty is quite beautiful. She's a very powerful design. It was the end of World War I. The coin was designed to say America is strong and we're resilient and we're a peace-loving people, but we'll fight back if we need to. And that's what the symbolism of this Liberty was intended to communicate. So if you fast forward in time a little bit more, something strange happens with the metal, you know, because there really isn't enough gold and there really isn't enough silver. And in fact, society has changed and there's not really a reason in the 1970s to make money worth its weight in gold, worth its weight in silver. You know, we have alloys, we have chemistry, we're messing around with metals, and we start to create silver dollars that are what? Not really silver anymore. So this dollar that I have is an Eisenhower dollar. You know, it looks like a silver dollar. It's about the same size as the other actual silver dollar, but this is an alloy composition. It's got copper in it and other cheaper metals. So what we're moving toward with the Eisenhower dollar in the 70s is a situation where it costs a lot less than $1 to make this dollar coin. Well, what does that lead to in the government? That leads to a surplus of money because the government sells these dollars at their face value. When a bank buys them, when they're put out into circulation, they cost their face value, but they don't cost the United States Mint an actual dollar to make. And that leads to a whole other interesting story. So now another interesting thing happens because we have lots of different kinds of paper dollars in circulation over time in the United States. And there was a time up until probably the mid-1970s when your paper dollar bill was actually a certificate, a silver certificate that you could take to the bank. And if you wanted a dollar in silver for your paper dollar, and if you have any at home, look on the front of the note right next to George Washington's portrait. There will be a blue symbol on it and written over that some words that basically tell you, you can take this dollar to the bank and get your silver, your dollar's worth of silver back for it. But all that changed too, because that's a very impractical situation. Who wants, you know, millions of people showing up at the bank and demanding their silver, their actual silver for their paper dollars? So now if you look at the dollar that you have in your pocket, there's nothing on it that says you can take this piece of paper to the bank and either get silver or gold back for it. So this paper dollar is totally representational. It has no silver or gold backing from the United States Mint or the Treasury. So that's what I was talking about in the switch from the intrinsic value of money, where this tiny little coin is actually worth its weight in a pinch of gold, to this paper dollar where it's at, you know, what did it cost to print the paper dollar? Not a dollar. Can you take it to the bank and get your gold or silver worth a dollar? No. And then I just wanted to end my little story about the changing face of the dollar in the United States over the past couple hundred years with a story about a dollar that was introduced in the year 2000, the Sacagawea dollar. Now, what I find really interesting about this coin is, one, it's gold, but it's not actual gold. It is just the tone of gold, the color of gold. And numismatists speculate that this coin is colored gold to remind people of the glory days of when gold coins circulated in the United States. But the interesting thing about that is no one alive today who would be using this coin was probably around during the heyday of the circulation of gold coins. And so we also speculate that part of the reason that this coin has not been as successful as people may have hoped that it had been is that it doesn't mean as much in our society today to use gold coins. You know, think about it. We want flexibility in our money. So what's flexible? A credit card is flexible. Electronic banking is flexible. And this coin, which is nearly the same size as a quarter or a quarter dollar, gets easily confused. So, you know, it's not as welcomed in our general pattern of usage as those Morgan dollars were when they made half a billion Morgan dollars. The other thing that's interesting about the Sacagawea dollar is Sacagawea, who's on it. You know, she's a Shoshone guide. She's carrying her baby. She worked with Lewis and Clark on their expedition. And when you think about real people who really are on our money today, there aren't that many real people. And so it's curious to me, why did the government choose to put her on the money, and how come there aren't actually more women on American coins and more living men for that matter? And that takes me sort of to the real end of my story, which is when George Washington, the first president of the United States, was deciding what should go on our money, he very specifically rejected a portrait of himself on the money. He said no living person should be on American money because we are not a monarchy. We do not want to associate ourselves with what happened in Britain. So we're not putting rulers, even if I am the president and not a king, on our money. We're going to put a symbol of liberty on our money. So from all the money that the federal government made from that point forward had to have some representation of liberty on it. And now what we see on the money is the word liberty rather than a picture of liberty.
I'd like to thank Karen Lee for taking the time to speak with us. For the History Explorer podcast, this is Matt Ringelsetter. Join us again next month as we take another look behind the scenes here at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. This podcast has been made possible by a grant from the Verizon Foundation. Music provided by Kindswider.